Good morning, everyone. I'm John, for those who do not know me. Our Bible reading this morning, as you can see, is Romans 12, reading from verses 3 up to 8. So Romans 12, 3 up to 8. So we're continuing on from where we started last week. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Cameron, if I haven't met you before. Leave your Bibles open there as we take a look through Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. Last week, as John mentioned, we looked at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we saw how much God loves us. The Apostle Paul is urging us to love God and to worship Him in view of God's mercies, in view of what Jesus has done for us, by not being like the world, but living the way Christ has shown us. And today, as we head into verse 3 to 8, the apostle's gaze doesn't shift, but he flows into his next thought, which corresponds and links to what he has just said. And the idea that he explores next is God's church family. He is urging us to love and serve each other. Together, God's people are united with a shared mission to love and glorify God through worshiping Him as we love Him and love each other and the world around us. And there's something powerful about unity, isn't there? The idea which we're stronger together, one group united with a shared mission, like Lismore City Rugby Club, which I play for. We come together each year with the goal of just winning one game. And we come together with this united vision of victory, and we march out, and would you believe it or not, this year we won three. Best season in 6 years. There is no greater depiction of unity than that which the Bible displays, where people from every nation, every culture, every class in society, every age are invited into God's family through faith in Jesus. We're all invited into God's family, our Father's loving church family through faith in Christ. All gathered to God through faith. And my favourite old dead guy, his name is John Stott. He was an English minister, and he says this of the church. He said, the church lies at the very centre of the eternal purposes of God. It is not a divine afterthought. It is not an accident of history. On the contrary, the church is God's new community. It's not just to save isolated individuals from loneliness, but to call a people out of the world for His glory. God's church is God's community, united by Jesus, inspired to live like Jesus as it loves God, loves itself, and loves the world. It is God's new community, which is set apart. It's not like the world. And yet, we also try to show the love of Jesus to the world around us. The church is not something that we go to at 9:30 or at 6 p.m. The church is not a building. The church are a people, a body, a family, a group of people united in Christ. And this is what we're going to be exploring together today, how the Apostle Paul is urging God's church family to serve and love each other. And if you don't have faith in Jesus, it's great that you're here today. Hopefully, we will all be able to see God's will for his church family, how it should love and serve each other. And hopefully you might want to be part of that family or vision for a family. So now, as we discuss this short passage on God's people loving each other, we're going to start by being humbled. Then we're going to explore the body of Christ before discussing service of one another. Three different aspects of God's church family which should influence us in the way we love each other. Yet these three points are not the only three points that the Bible has to say about the church family loving each other. But for today, those are the three ideas which we're going to talk about, which is mentioned. And those are the three points: humility, the body, and service. Check out verse 3 with me again. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." The apostle starts a passage on loving the church family by saying, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." He starts with humility, and it might seem unexpected or irrelevant. And I'm quite experienced when it comes to being humbled. I'm quite a confident person, which naturally leaves me susceptible or open to being humbled and humiliated. Just recently, I was humbled by a gentleman in my gospel community. It was our GC weekend away. We were down in Evans Head, and I decided I'd like to go fishing. And I'd been out for hours with no luck. And this guy, very experienced and good fisherman, and I thought I was too. I thought I was pretty good. I certainly had all the setup and gear. I thought I knew what I was talking about and doing. But this lad came up and he sat next to me. He grabbed my spare rod. He set it up. And within 15 minutes, he'd landed four fish. He caught four fish in 15 minutes. I'd been out all day and had nothing to show for it but a sunburn. I was humbled. I definitely thought more highly of myself than I ought. The apostle starts by saying, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. He's saying pride and arrogance have no place in God's family, especially over other people. Remember who you are, he's saying. I think he's saying, take a look in the mirror. We don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to pride in our faith. Yes, we are dearly loved children of God, but we are human. We are finite. We are from dust, and to dust we will return. The Christian is saved by faith in what Jesus has done, nothing that we have done. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. All people are on the same playing field. No matter who they are, we are all guilty of sin. We all need to be saved. We all rely on Jesus to save us. And the apostle even reminds us of how we're all saved by faith. He says, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. This could be heard as people are given different amounts of faith. But no, we all have the same faith. We might be different people from different cultures, upbringings, or schools, but we all share the same faith. Even though we have different personalities, strengths and weaknesses, gifts and abilities, we share a faith. Our faith is in Christ. We are all saved by faith in Jesus and what he has done. We are all invaluable. Everyone who has faith in Jesus is equal status. That status? Adopted child of God in Christ. And by the apostle showing the church that we're all equal, he also shows that Christians should not think of themselves more highly than people who do not have faith in Jesus. All people are made in God's image. All people are equally in need of saving. Christians can't think of themselves more highly than anyone, as if there's a moral or spiritual high ground. The apostle starts by reminding the church family of who they are in Christ. Take a good look at yourself. Don't deceive yourself. And it's important for him to start here because all people who have faith in Jesus are one in Christ, as we're about to see. None more valuable than the other. All equally saved, all equally loved, all equally with a part to play in the family. Pride and arrogance has no place, only love and service. And I don't think the apostle is trying to drag down the leaders of the church family. I think the apostle is trying to elevate everyone, to let everyone understand who they are in Christ, how we are all united in Jesus, and that we are all responsible for loving and serving the body. We all have a part to play in love and service. And the apostle, he continues to show us this, the relationship of the church family, as he likens it to a body in verse 4 and 5. Isn't it great when the Bible uses an illustration for us? It means I don't need to try and think of one. Check it out with me again. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. He says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." The Apostle Paul says the church, the family of God, is like a body. We all have a body, and our body has different parts, and the parts have different functions. I don't think you need much convincing of this. However, just in case you do, I love taking every opportunity I can to talk about rugby. So in rugby, your team has 15 players, and they are all different shapes and sizes. From the number 9, who's a wee little lad, and a lock, who is a literal giant. Check out this photo of Faf de Klerk next to Ebon Etzebeth from the South African rugby team. I think Faf is the guy on the right. He's below Eben's shoulders. It's amazing to think that these two guys are playing the same sport on the same field. But the rugby team is extremely diverse. It's different shapes and sizes, roles and abilities, and that's what makes it the best sport ever. But think about it. Hands, ears, lips, noses, eyes, feet, hair, they do different things. The body has different parts, yet they're all connected. That is what the apostle is saying. The church family is full of different people with different gifts and experiences, yet they're all connected. Connected in Christ. What is more, Paul says in verse 5, that all the members belong to each other. And it's not that I own you and you own me. We belong to each other as a family. The apostle is saying that we are together to help serve each other. We all have a role to play in loving the body. loving the church family. We're not a soccer team or netball team where there's 10 to 20 people sweating and giving it their all with a stadium full of fans who are eating popcorn. We all have a responsibility to love each other, to love God and the wider community. We are a team. No, sorry, we're more than that. We're a body. One body in Jesus. In Ephesians 4, the apostle shares similar thoughts about this as he says, we are united by faith and therefore the Holy Spirit. The apostle wants the church family to be united despite its diversity, one body who shares one spirit with one mission. No person in God's family is unnecessary. And no person is ultimate. And we all aren't the same either. And that's good, because having a group of people who all have the same personality, skill set, ability and gifts and life experience is not a very good mission strategy. A group of different people from different walks of life with different gifts to reach an extremely diverse world does make sense. But the apostle is calling us, despite our differences, to cling to Christ and to love each other, to work together like a body in love, with everyone loving, with everyone serving, everyone using their God-given gifts for each other. And this is where the apostle heads in verse 6 to 8. He shows us some of the gifts which God has blessed his church family with. Read it along with me again, verse 6, 7 and 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The apostle has just said that God's church family is like a body, which has different parts with different functions. And now he shows us some of the functions of these different parts. He shows us some of the gifts which God has gifted those in the body of Christ. Yet we must remember that people have different gifts, yet no one is better. We are all united. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. We all need each other. Our diversity is complementary. And these gifts are essential things which God has given his people. Gifts for the people so that they might love God, love each other, and love the world. Essential things for God's church to grow. The apostle has said the church is like a body. And the gifts he shows, they seem to be associated with mouths and hands. I don't know if you noticed that. God wants the body to use its mouths and hands. Let's check out some of these gifts which he's talking about. The apostle mentions prophecy, teaching, and encouraging, all of which are word ministries. And exactly what these gifts look like, I think, is a bit debated, but they all involve speaking, passing on the word of God or the good news about Jesus. Prophecy, I understand, is the act of proclamation, proclaiming God's truth with application. Teaching is passing of Christian doctrines, so teaching others about the truths of the Bible. Encouraging or exhortation is the strong building up of others. They are all word ministries. Then the other four mentioned, I think, are hand ministries. Serving, which is majorly broad, as many things could be considered serving. Then there's giving, being generous with things, money, time, possessions. Then there is leading others and showing mercy to others. But I think God wants his church to be full of people who are serving each other with their mouths and with their hands. And he has gifted people, he's gifted us in this way. Not to mention the Spirit can grow people in these gifts. When I was first a youth leader here at our youth gatherings, I wasn't very good at teaching the Bible. But the Spirit grew me in that gift. But I think the point is that God has given us a church family. He's given us each other. People with different gifts, abilities, strengths to serve and love each other. If you'd like to explore what gifts you think God has given you, I think talk to some Christian people who know you well, who you do life with. Maybe you're someone in your GC or your DNA group. But I think the apostle is giving us, he's not giving us an extensive list in which every Christian falls into one of these categories. The apostle is showing us the importance of these specific gifts of mouth and hand ministries for the church family. They are vital for the church to grow in faith, truth, and love. The apostle wants our hearts to be full of love for Jesus. And he wants our heads to be full of the truth about what God has done for us, which leads us to talk about him and love each other with our mouths and hands. I think he is emphasizing that we use our gifts. He says, if your gift is serving, then serve. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's teaching, then teach. Just do it. Serve each other. We are one body. We have different functions, yet we work best in our diversity together. I think a better question, which we could ask ourselves, is how am I or how are we serving the church family? God wants us to love each other, to serve each other. Are you doing that? Or are you in the stadium watching? And if you are in the stadium watching, why? Maybe your circumstances mean you are in the crowd for good reason. And that's okay. And isn't it cool? We are a body who helps each other out in these circumstances. Yet both last week and today, the apostle is trying to help us see the love of God. He's trying to help us see the mercies of God. Jesus died to save us. He welcomes us into God's family as children. He secures our eternal future. So let's love God. And let's love each other in view of our Heavenly Father's mercy, in view of what he has done for us. Let's serve each other with our gifts, which God has given us for the benefit of each other. The body is a family. We are incomplete without each other. No one is useless or unnecessary, and no one is ultimate. We all have a part to play in the body of Christ. So we have seen that in God's church family, we are all equal. We should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We are all necessary. We are all part of the diverse body with different functions or gifts, which we are to serve and love each other with. And loving each other is part of God's will for us. It's part of us offering our body as a living sacrifice, which we saw last week. when we love each other, we are worshipping God. And the apostle, he doesn't want us to be like the world. He doesn't want us to be conformed to the world in the way that we love each other. Loving and serving, but rather loving and serving each other like a family, laying down our lives in service of our brothers and sisters in the good times and in the really hard times. And I actually think that's really countercultural. I think the general consensus of the world we live in is surround yourself with people just like you, people you like and enjoy, people who you generally agree with and bring something to the relationship. Yet the body of Christ is extremely diverse. We can't think of our relationships in terms of cost-benefit. What do you bring to the table in this relationship? You don't offer me anything. In fact, you actually don't encourage me at all. Our relationship only really makes my life harder. We can't think of our relationships as transactional because our relationship with Jesus isn't like that. It's actually the opposite. We do nothing and get everything. Actually, we do worse than nothing. We reject God, and Jesus gives us everything. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. The good news about Jesus leads us to love God, and in loving God, we also are loving the church family. And next week, we're going to see how the apostle urges us to love the world around us. The apostle has urged those who have faith in Jesus to see that they are part of the body. They are part of God's church family. And despite the diversity, they are united and equal. And we are to serve each other with our God-given gifts. Lismore Rugby Club each season do their best to win just one game. They unite and strive for this goal. How can we seek to serve and love our church family? How will we serve each other as one body? You might like to ask your gospel community leader, how can I help? Just a heads up, they might faint. But seriously, ask them how you can help serve your GC family. And even our wider family. How can you serve our gospel community in lots of ways? And how can we serve our wider church family in a few ways? One thing you might like to do is fill out the Carols form. Tell our staff team how you would be willing to serve. But our wider community, not just our church family, but our wider community with an opportunity for them to hear the gospel at Christmas time. Let's think creatively about how we can serve and love each other. We are a family. We are different, yet we all have a part to play in serving our family. How can you? Therefore, I urge you, love the body, love the church family. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we confess that sometimes it's really hard to love each other. I pray that you might be with us. Help remind us of the mercy of God, of you that you've shown to us through Jesus. And help us to be inspired to love you, to love the world around us, to love each other as your church family. Help us to love and serve, to be other person-centered in the way that we care for and love each other. And I pray that as we love each other, the world around us might see Jesus. might see the love that he has for us and the love that he has for them, and so many people might be saved. And we pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.